The same sort of crisis occurred in the 1920s with the crash of the U.S. stock market. In that time, a nationwide panic set in, and people rushed to the banks to withdraw cash that was not available or to trade in securities and stock options that were not matured. In running to the bank, people actually caused the crash rather than escaped it. On the flip side of the coin, too fast of an appreciation sets up a country for inflation, or an increase in the retail value of products sold to the public based on currency valuation. While inflation is bound to occur, it can be minimally tempered through the use of the currency valuation. Appreciation can be related to a vehicle as well. Often, men enjoy taking old cars and restoring them to their original beauty. In doing so, they drastically increase the value of the vehicle or appreciate it. The ever-changing rates of currency conversion and volatility of the market create an inherent market risk, or a day-to-day potential to experience loss due to fluctuation in securities prices. There is no way to diversify this type of risk, as it is always going to affect investment to a certain degree. However, some risk can be offset by particular types of investments or ways of investing that are more secure or protected. We will take a look at long and short positions, short selling, stop orders, and other ways to protect your investments from drastic loss in additional chapters. These options include the ability to preset your purchase or sell price for a specific commodity, as well as using various predetermined order levels to place orders and complete transactions. Of course, do not delude yourself into thinking that you can rid yourself of all possible risk factors on the market. There is always a cloud hanging over your head waiting to burst, and all it takes is one little pinprick. You must always exercise caution, though the idea of playing the stock market entails danger and excitement inherently. The next chapter will help you get a grasp on reality and what is involved in balancing your risk factor with a grounding in reality, your ego with your id. Chapter 7, Aspects of the Trade. You are now versed in the functionality of the stock market and have decided that you are willing to accept the risk factors involved. However, you want to know everything you can about balancing that risk with intelligent investment options. How can you be sure that the risks you take are more likely to be rewarding in the long run than destructive? Long and short. One of the most important parts of making money on the stock market is to determine your position. The long position is basically the purchasing position. You are about to take on a long-term commitment for ownership of some stock, security, or other traded commodity. The short position, by contrast, is the selling position. You are shortly going to dispose of the same sort of ownership and any responsibility toward it. The best time to take up the long position is when stock prices are low. This will get you into the market at a reasonable price and increase your chances for profitability as new offerings go up in price and older investment options recover or rebound. In fact, as others take the long position and purchase at the same time you do, this will actually drive the value of securities up through the standard rule of supply and demand, causing the beginning of what could be a bull market. You may equate this with the end of the month at a car dealership. The prices tend to drop on any cars left on the lot for sale, and the dealer is more often willing to bargain because he or she wants less inventory on the lot. Likewise, when stock prices are low, some will panic and dump all of their holdings at these low prices, thinking that their shares will never recover the value. This can only be of assistance to you. When prices are high, it is likely time to turn around and sell your shares to bring in a profit, not losing anything on unrealized gain, profit that cannot be counted in liquid assets or cash because it is still invested in a volatile stock option. You should never sell for a price that is below your cost, as this brings negative equity and loss of funds. You should always sell for the greatest amount of profit that you feel is safe. In other words, if you buy a security at $15 per share, and it quickly rises to $25 per share, you may very well feel that it could hit $30 per share within a week. However, you must determine if you are willing to risk losing your already secured earnings of $10 per share to wait that long, should the price actually fall, so you may decide to sell at the current high price. Market makers and selling short. What if the stock values are up incredibly high, but you did not get in on that particular commodity and own no shares? Your first step should be to visit a market maker or to make a deal with a broker for a short sell. A market maker is literally a stockbroker who purchases keeps a certain amount of shares of several securities or stocks on hand, which are purchased during a time when the market rates are low. The firm will then turn around and sell those shares to an individual at that low price, regardless of the market rate, in effect making its own market, thus the name. The individual who purchases from the firm can immediately sell the commodities on the open market at market rate, which is higher, making an incredible amount of profit in a short period of time. A short sell is another option for a quick profit. In this scenario, you will borrow a particular number of shares from a stockbroker to sell when the market value is high. Your job is to then wait for the stock price to go down, purchase the same quantity of stock, and return the holdings to the broker, keeping the profit from the sale, minus the broker fees. The way that a car dealer works with trade-ins is very similar. They will purchase the car from you at a very low price, then turn around and sell it on the lot for a high profit margin. One of the most positive aspects of a short sell is that you never actually take possession of the stock, meaning that you are never in a position to lose money. Because you have sold shares for a high price, you have already profited, and in the worst case scenario, the particular stocks will not drop in price. Rather than return the stocks to the broker from whom they were borrowed, you can simply pay back the amount for which they were originally purchased, along with the premium. How can you be sure that you will not overshoot the best price options or miss a good rate because you are unavailable to place a buy order or sell order with your broker? Is there a way to set limits on your trades? Next, we will discuss ways to protect your investments and limit your risk factors. Chapter 8, Risk Management. One of the most important aspects of protecting your investments is balancing your risks with reassurances. There are several ways to do this, and we will discuss those in this chapter. Limit orders and balancing risks. A limit order is a standing amount at which you have agreed to buy or sell a particular security or other commodity. For instance, you have designated to your stockbroker that you will not sell X security until its value reaches a minimum value of Y dollars. At the same time, you will not purchase the same X security if it exceeds a value of Z. Setting limits for the price you pay for a particular security, as well as the price you will accept to sell it, protects you and your investment in several ways. First of all, you are maximizing your gains, but mostly, you are avoiding loss. Any loss that occurs with limit orders will always be unrealized loss, or a loss that is not measurable in liquid assets or cash. In other words, until you sell the stock and reap the net loss, it will not affect your net worth. Since you have set a limit that does not allow your commodities to be sold for less than the original cost, you cannot possibly have a loss in your net worth. At the same time, you are also assuring at least a certain amount of profit by setting your sell point high enough to reap that particular profit. Another way to protect your assets is to hedge. This means that you create and sell a futures contract stating that, when your shares reach a certain value in the future, you will sell your holdings at this predetermined price. When that price is reached, the order will be processed and the transaction completed. Of course, if you ever change your mind about a limit that you have set, you can place a stop order with your broker, which designates that you no longer wish to trade at the specified dollar amount. You can also buy on margin. This is very similar to short selling, but instead of borrowing stocks to sell, you are essentially borrowing money to purchase stocks on your own when the market value is down. Then, when the value of the securities you have purchased rises and you are able to sell for a profit, you repay the loan and keep the excess from the sell, minus the broker fees. Of course, all dealings with a stockbroker incur a premium, or fee for services rendered, and it is nearly impossible to trade without a broker or broker service. However, online services are often less expensive than live agents, but you can research to determine what your best option is. How do I handle a whipsaw? No, we are not referring to anything in the garage, the bedroom, or a country band. A whipsaw is a market trend that defies the odds. It can be thought of as the fender bender. Despite how careful you are as you learn to drive a car and become coordinated, sometimes you cannot do anything to avoid being rear-ended. Whipsaw is a term for what happens when everything points toward a specific direction and market trend, causing you to buy, if it looks as though prices are going to rise, or sell, if it seems they are about to fall, then the opposite effect occurs. For example, if you purchase a security at $5 per share because the stock seems to have fallen as far as it can go and appears to be starting an upward trend, then unexpectedly, the stock plummets to $1 per share. This is considered a whipsaw effect. If this happens to you, as it surely will if you play the market long enough, the best thing to do is wait it out. The stock will do one of two things: it will either dissolve entirely, and the company will go bankrupt, this is what you do not want to happen, or it will rebound, and you can opt to wait for a chance to turn a profit or you can get out as soon as the purchase rate is reached. Whipsaws are not the end of the world, and no one can expect to gain with every stock market purchase. However, if you find that you are involved in several of these instances, you should seriously reconsider your investment options. You may be reading the signs incorrectly, or you could be picking bad stocks. You should seek advice for any future investments you expect to make prior to purchasing any further stocks or securities. Another way to overturn a bad investment like this is to proceed with an offset transaction, a purchase or sell that offsets the loss of a previous transaction. You could either purchase additional stock in the same company at the lower price if you expect it to recover, or you can opt for another hot commodity that is about to explode in price, either of which will help you offset your loss. You could also sell shares of a security in which you have a large amount of unrealized gain, gain that cannot be measured in liquid assets or cash due to increase in value of stock and security holdings, in order to replace the lost cash value. All of these are viable options to recover a loss, but waiting for the share value to rebound is always the first choice. It avoids the loss of funds already invested, retains the option to pursue profit, and reduces the risk of further investment into the market. As you grow and learn about these various options, you will need to feel more comfortable when surrounded by financial gurus and geeks who speak what sounds like gibberish, muttering words you have never heard left and right. The following chapter will take you through some of the meanings of the major buzzwords used in the stock market and the International Financial District. Chapter 9, Buzzwords. Now that you know a little more about the stock market, and you have decided to try your hand at investment, you should be more concerned with understanding the jargon you will hear on the trading room floor. Although you probably will not find yourself amid a group of screaming stockbrokers on Wall Street, and these days, most of the trading is done by computer anyway, knowing that learning to talk the talk is part of walking the walk. Margins, spreads, and other condiments. Okay, so it is margins, not margarines, but it sounds very similar. In order to understand the stock market, especially on Forex, you need to speak not a language meant for common communication, but the language of trade. For instance, when you think of a margin, for many this means a variable, like the margin of error in a statistic. However, in trade, it refers to the sum of money borrowed from a broker in order to purchase stocks when the market is on a downtrend. Then, when the value begins its next upswing, you sell the stock at the higher price, pay back the margin, along with the premium accrued, and retain the profit. When you buy on margin, the money lent by the stockbroker is referred to as a margin account. The margin account is provisional based on the value of the stock. Occasionally, if the value of the stocks purchased should drop too low for the safety margin set forth by the broker, the agent will request that more money be deposited into the margin account to make up for a loss. This is referred to as a margin call. In some trades, the market value does not come into play. For instance, a forward trade is set up between two individuals or two companies outside the open market. It involves a process of negotiation and an eventual compromising price. There is usually a bid made, the offer to buy a commodity at a certain price, and an asking price or offer, the price for which the other business entity is willing to sell the securities or other holdings. The difference between these two purchase numbers is referred to as the spread. If the spread cannot be narrowed and eventually closed, no deal can be made. This agreed-upon price is called the forward price, and all details involved in the trade process when this type of transaction takes place are detailed in a contract and referred to as forward points. Usually, the forward price is outlined as available for a particular date, and should the transaction not be completed on this date, referred to as the transaction date, then the trade must be renegotiated. Jobbers, yards, and other Brit terms. One of the major foreign markets that Americans trading on Forex will encounter is that of the British. While several other terms relating to the stock market will be similar because of the common language, there are some specific terms that are very different in the British trading vocabulary. For example, in the United States, stockbrokers who hold on to securities purchased at low prices for the purpose of selling them to clients in a higher-priced market, so that the client can turn around and resell them for the profit on the open market, are called market makers. However, in Britain, this type of investor is simply referred to as a jobber. Another term you will want to be familiar with is yard. This does not refer to a green patch of land, a measurement in inches, or even 36 of something. The term is used in reference to quantity of currency rather than value and is equivalent to 1 million units of the currency in question. In other words, you can have a yard of dollars or a yard of yen, and though it is the same quantity of bills, coins, or whatever physical currency is used, it is not necessarily equivalent in value. In Britain, they do not use the euro, and they do not use the US dollar. They have chosen to still use the pound sterling, a currency that has been used in the country for hundreds of years. However, Britain is currently on a path to make the conversion to the euro within the next 5 years. Open and shut. In the stock market, there are various types of orders that can be placed to help protect you from making a bad investment or to limit the amount you pay for a certain security or other commodity. For instance, if you have made a bad investment and do not want to reinvest in a particular security, you should sell all shares of that stock, regardless of taking on a small loss. This action is referred to as closing a position. On the contrary, if you are doing well with your investment, you might participate in a rollover, simply reinvesting any earnings in additional shares of the stock or security. An open order is exactly what it sounds like, meaning that the order remains pending until it is either executed by your stockbroker or cancelled by you as the client. A stop order would cancel any pending orders you have placed with your stockbroker. You also have options like one cancels the other orders. These allow you to have interest in several commodities, leaving orders with your stockbroker to buy all of them, should they drop to a certain price. Then, should one of those reach this preset low price, your stockbroker will follow your direction and invest your money in that particular security, followed by a cancellation of all additional orders. When a broker gives you an estimate on the price for a particular stock or commodity, it is considered a quote. A quote is never completely accurate and is usually referred to as a spot price, as the value of a security can change within a few seconds. However, it is as close to accurate as can be expected. When you put in an order, the broker then processes the fill, or completion, of that order. The actual value at which the trade is completed is called the fill price. The completion of a trade or purchase, referred to as a settlement, can also be called the execution of a transaction or realization of an order. As you see, there are a lot of terms to take into consideration, and we have not even begun to consider terms used in some of the tougher areas of the market. Next, we will consider some specialized, more complex trading options that you can use on Forex to take advantage of the volatility of the market and the constantly varying exchange rates. Chapter 10, Expert Trading Options. After spending a lot of time buying and trading on both domestic and foreign markets, you will find that the process becomes easier and almost intuitive. You no longer have to work so hard to determine currency conversion or find the next big explosive commodity. It will be like second nature for you. What, then, becomes the next big challenge for someone trading on the open market? What keeps things from becoming monotonous and boring? First of all, there is always something new and different happening on the foreign exchange market. Remember, it operates 24 hours a day, and you never know what you will find when you wake up in the morning. However, there are various ways that you can take advantage of the variance in currency conversion and a lag in time between markets that can affect trading values. Arbitrage. There are some commodities that are traded in multiple currencies on multiple markets on Forex. Although computers have made worldwide communication almost lightning fast these days, all of these markets can trade together with fairly equivalent values for the securities shared across currencies. However, the system is not perfect, and the value may rise or fall in one country and currency prior to the same change in value reaching across another border. Seasoned traders have learned to take advantage of this lag in the market trending by using a process called arbitrage. In this transaction, you purchase the particular stock or security on the market with the lower price while simultaneously selling the same in a market where the value is higher. The process is a bit complex, so we will use an example. Let's say that $1 is equivalent to 0.5 British pounds, meaning that everything is going to be twice as expensive in British pounds. Now, let's take a look at the price of a stock that is traded on both markets. If they were equivalent, then the stock would trade for $2 in the United States and £1 in Britain. However, if something happens and the stock value drops in Britain, it is 6 hours ahead of the United States, and this drop may not hit the American market immediately. If the value of the stock drops in Britain to 0.8 pounds, the purchase price is now below that of the price in dollars due to the currency conversion. In this case, arbitrage would take place when you bought shares of the stock in on the British market in pounds and sold it on the US market in dollars, benefiting by the slow communication of the fall in value of the stock. In effect, you will make 40 cents per stock. Volatility of currency conversion. Another way to take advantage of the ever-shifting value of each individual currency is to trade based on the changing rates. What exactly does this involve? You must closely watch the changing conversion rates. When a currency conversion rate changes drastically, it is time to make a move. This is very similar to arbitrage, but the area is much riskier due to high volatility. For instance, If you have purchased a stock in the scenario above on the US market for $2 a share, and suddenly the British pound gains value, dropping to a conversion of only half a pound for every $2, you would want to sell your shares on the British market because the value of a pound is higher and now has greater purchasing power. One piece of advice to keep in mind, though, is that it is best to immediately dispose of all liquid assets in foreign currency, usually in the same day. This is referred to as tomorrow next because it takes 2 to 3 business days for foreign currency to be delivered, and by exchanging the currency for value in stocks on the same business day, you avoid having to take delivery of the currency altogether. Chapter 11, Other Trading Options. Besides the expert options described above, there are other non-traditional ways to make money on the stock market. In considering these options, however, you should consider making a career of trading stocks and securities. Some types of trading are simply not for the faint of heart, and that means you must have complete motivation and an adventurous spirit to take part in these areas of the market. The chances of taking a giant hit and experiencing a great loss are multiplied. Day trading. Day traders take on some of the greatest market risk of all. Because day traders work with investments that change drastically within hours, they are by nature playing in the lion's den. These stocks are extremely volatile, and for most, day trading is a quick way to lose a great deal of money. It is difficult to make a great deal of cash in this manner, and it is even more difficult to forecast the outcome of these day trade stock options. You cannot be certain of the overnight position, the net value at which a stockbroker or day trader will open the following morning. And in Forex, there is little room for day trading, as the market never shuts down during the workweek. In these cases, the day trader has to set a time limit for him or herself to get out, selling all shares, so that he or she can sleep soundly while the world spins round and start the next day fresh. Day trading is very dangerous and is not recommended to newcomers. In fact, it is not really recommended at all, and most people who partake of this volatile part of the industry are extremely seasoned in trading on the open market, do not consider the risk factors carefully enough prior to entering this branch of the market, or have enough money that they simply wish to try this form of investment and do not care if they lose a goodly sum. Secondary markets. Secondary markets are interesting in that they are created by the government to help redistribute money that is used for loans. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are two of the major corporations from which stocks are purchased on a secondary market. Here is how it works. When a person purchases a home, he or she requests a loan from the bank, usually for about 80% of the cost of the house. This is granted, and the house is purchased by the bank for the individual or family, who begins to pay off the loan to the bank. Meanwhile, to assure that money is available at that bank for the next person who needs a mortgage loan, Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, two entities originally established by the United States government, will purchase the loan from the bank. Therefore, the money is returned to the bank for use in the future. What do these agencies then do with the deficit they have acquired? They sell it. On the secondary market, they break up the loan into shares that are backed by the mortgage itself and sell those shares, recovering the money from investors. Eventually, those securities mature, probably about the same time that the original loan is paid off to the bank, and the investors reap the benefits of their investment with the interest earned. Another way to take advantage of a volatile international stock market is to make a swap. This is the exchange of securities or bonds in order to take advantage of lower interest rates. For example, if a business entity in Britain is in possession of one security, and another in Japan is in possession of a different security, the two commodities may be beneficially traded or sold to each other in order to save on the interest rates, if the currently held bond or security is kept at a lower interest rate in the opposing market. For example, let's say one business is in possession of a bond A that is paying out only 2% interest in its current market, and another is holding bonds B in its market at 3% interest. If bond A is actually paying out 3% on the foreign market, and bond B can be cashed in for 4% on the first market, both parties can make more money on a trade of bonds. They can mutually benefit from a sale of the securities to each other due to a gain of more interest. If that seems confusing, then perhaps a swap is not in your near future. This is more often processed between businesses on the foreign market rather than individual parties, though with the correct broker, it could be accomplished. However, should you work the deal, you need know little except that you are looking at a higher profit margin than previously, and your broker will take care of the rest. If you determine that you should have stock options as a business, you will probably decide to hire a full-time consultant for all your financial needs, including the handling of your shareholdings. In fact, When businesses are large enough and present a strong enough trading presence within the market, especially on Forex, you will find that there are entire departments dedicated to maintenance on the stock options. Chapter 12, in review. After shoveling through piles of information and taking in so much knowledge, you probably feel like you are swimming in terminology and cannot remember just where to begin. The best way to retain knowledge is through repetition, and having a quick reference guide is never a bad idea, either. The following pages are a brief overview of the in-depth discussions in this book, allowing you to quickly reference a topic in a bind. The basic trade. A share is a holding of a company that varies in value based on the desire or need for that particular company's goods or services. As a shareholder, your net worth increases and decreases based on taking a short position, selling, when values are high, and a long position, buying, when prices are low. As long as the stock or security is in your possession, the change in value is considered unrealized gain or loss because you cannot measure it in liquid assets, cash. When most commodities traded on the market are on a strong upward trend for a period of time, this is referred to as a bull market. Should value take a sharp downward swing and continue on that path, it is called a bear market. If no such trend is recognized, and the value of stocks and securities is fairly even, this is referred to as flat. The foreign exchange market. The foreign exchange market is the stock exchange on which several different countries across several different time zones trade their domestic and international commodities in various currencies. Currency is the denomination or monetary division used in a particular land, such as the US dollar or the euro. When multiple currencies are in use, they are typically expressed as a ratio called a cross rate that shows the amount of a second currency that is equivalent to the first listed. Determining what the equivalent is would be referred to as currency conversion. Several countries in Europe, which have now consolidated their currencies to agree on the euro, since 1999, trade on Forex, as it is called for short. Britain, which to this point has opted to continue using the pound sterling, also takes part in international trade, as well as the United States, Japan, and Australia. Each of these countries utilizes its own currency for standard trading purposes, with options for investment in foreign currencies. Determining whether or not this is worthwhile depends on the currency conversion rate. The value of a nation's currency is determined by its government and federal bank. The Federal Reserve, better known as the Fed, is the federal bank of the United States. Purposeful change in the rate of conversion by a government is referred to as valuation. Devaluation is taking value and strength from the currency, and revaluation adds strength and purchase power to the currency. If the same change to the rate of conversion occurs naturally through events and the volatility of the market, it is then called appreciation and depreciation. Careers in the market. Without the assistance of professionals, it is nearly impossible to trade on the open market. Market analysts track trends in the stock market that affect the value of shareholdings. They use such information and basic history to help predict the outcome of different aspects of the market in the future. Other individuals, referred to as chartists, create charts and graphs that interpret all the data, various numbers, statistics, percentages, etc., into an easy-to-read candlestick chart that tracks the trends of specific commodities on the market. A stockbroker is an individual or a company that assists you in making your investments. A broker can aid you in making smart financial decisions, helping you track your and place your orders, and following trends in the market. A market maker does the same job as a stockbroker, with the exception that this individual or company retains an investment in a particular variety of securities and bonds that can be sold in short order to a client for a lower price so that the client can make money by immediately selling the same shares at the higher market price. Other individuals can assist with loans, allowing you to buy on margin. This involves the opposite approach, borrowing money to purchase a stock or security that is at a low market value so that the client can later resell the commodity at a higher price. Protecting your investments. There are several ways to protect your investments. By placing limit orders, you guarantee to the best of your ability that you will not lose money on the market and virtually guarantee at least a minimal profit. However, if you change your mind about those limits, you can always place a stop order. If you leave standing instructions with your stockbroker, these are referred to as open orders that remain such until the transaction is executed and the order filled. Try to set your limit orders just above the support levels, the lowest levels of value to which a stock can drop, and just below the level of resistance, the upper level above which it is difficult for the value of a stock to rise. Also, set a value date, a date at which time you can take an average of the value of a particular commodity and review your options. This should be reviewed at least every 6 months, if you plan to retain any holdings of a particular security. Chapter 13, One Final Option. While Chapter 13 is not an appropriate way to end a financial endeavor, it is, in this case, one of the most important conclusions to an incredibly helpful tool full of investment advice, especially when it is placed at the end of a book to offer assistance to those threatened with bankruptcy due to bad investment decisions. There are always ways to turn around when you have begun to walk down the wrong path. Much like moving on to a new car after purchasing a lemon that has been nothing but a nightmare, you can reverse your direction. Some people can spend days, months, and even years trying to conquer the stock market and still fail. In some cases, it is virtually impossible for an individual to ever get the hang of the functionality of the market. If you cannot follow market trends, then it is best that you do not make any investment decisions. It is okay not to fit into the market. At the same time, you can still make money with investments. One final option you have is to create a discretionary account. This means that you sign a contract with your stockbroker and turn over a sum of money to the agent for investment, leaving the determination of placement of that investment in the hands of your agent. You never again have to worry that you have made a bad investment. In fact, in this scenario, you do not even have to follow any market trends or other information that has anything to do with financial investment. Your broker will simply let you know when you have increased your net worth or if your assets have taken a dive. Whatever choices you make in regards to moving in on the stock market, you need not worry about not having the essential information to help you get through your first few trading experiences. Now, you have the basic knowledge and the essential reference guide to get you started on the path to success and wealth that you can access at any given time.